to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM shortwave talk radio. The truth is on talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. I want to remind people again here, on May 3rd, on MSNBC, nine-member GOP debate, Mr. Ron Paul is going to be included in this. They have kept him out of the news almost exclusively. We have, accepting on this, is the former First Lady Nancy Reagan's invitations to this MSNBC thing. And this is going to be Tuesday, April 3rd. April 3rd, 2007. Did they already do this? That's got to be a misprint, because I did not see this thing run. April 3rd, there's got to be a misprint here. But at any rate, Senator Brownback, Virginia, former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, you know, the guy that likes to dress up in women's clothes, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, I'm going to call him Huckster. This guy's got a good rap. I'm sure he'll fool some people. Duncan Hunter, John McCain. John, dear John should drop out of this because this guy's confused. He doesn't know what he is. Representative Ron Paul out of Texas, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, and former Wisconsin Governor Tommy G. Thompson. Now, this will air exclusively on MSNBC, and we've got to get an update on this, because I do believe this is the wrong date on here. So we'll keep you posted on that. All right, I've got Eric Pratt online here. Good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon, John.
How are you doing today, sir?
Well, we're hanging in here. You know, we've been busy. It seems like everybody in the nation wants to talk about, do we need more gun control or not?
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, this comes on the heels of the Virginia Tech shooting a couple of days ago. 32 students were shot. And, yeah, it is a bad thing. But this was a bad person. And quite frankly, Eric, this could have been done not so efficiently with a Louisville slugger or a knife or anything else. We're led to believe by the anti-gunners out there that the evil thing is guns themselves, not evil people, but the evil guns, so we've got to get rid of these things. Now, what we're staring at is a revision of Bill Clinton's assault weapon ban that cropped up and that he pushed during his administration. We now have a Democrat-controlled Congress and Senate. And here we are with the Assault Weapons Ban and Law Enforcement Protection Act. I don't know how this protects law enforcement, but they dusted it off and put a new date on it, and the new one is of 2007.
Yeah, the new one's even worse, of course. It'll cover more guns, doesn't have a sunset or an expiration date. You know, so it's more of the same and more. And you know that they've just been waiting for a tragedy like this, so that they can say, see, you know, if we had this law enacted, all this could have been prevented. And, of course, what they ignore is all the laws in the world, all the gun control laws in the world aren't going to stop bad guys from getting guns.
Well, and that's true. We got to take this break. This is a short segment at the top of the hour. We'll come right back after the break for the network. We're talking with Eric Pratt, son of Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, ladies and gentlemen, and a no-compromise gun lobby. I wish they had as many members as the NRA does. You heard what my comments were on the NRA and the sellout. GOP does not do that.
Have you heard of a privacy of America? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Boy, I'm looking at this HR 1022, and boy, the lawyers have a lot of fun putting this verbiage together. We do not have the time to go through this entire thing. I read part of this the other day. When did the other assault weapon ban... when did that expire? It was up for renewal, and they chose not to do that. When did that happen, Eric?
At the beginning of September 2004.
Okay. And, well, what was the main reason why it was not, why wasn't it picked up? Why did they let it drop? Was there that much opposition against it?
Well, it's an interesting question, because in the Senate, there were certainly enough people probably to pass it, but it was, and the president was actually asking for Congress, that would be President Bush, by the way, was asking Congress to send him a renewal and that he would sign it. The logjam came with lots of grassroots gun owners writing in, calling in, objecting to this to their House members, and the folks in the House got the message, and the House leadership bottled it up, never allowed it to come to the floor for a vote. So that was a very, very significant victory. In fact, in the Senate, Senate Majority Leader Frist was actually going to allow it a renewal vote as an amendment to a must-pass bill. And we asked him, look, you have procedural maneuvers that you can use to keep this amendment from being offered, because we weren't quite sure that, you know, we had the votes to kill it outright. And he said, no, you know, there's, you know, you can't do that. So we contacted millions of our favorite friends around the country and said, everybody, you know, unload your cannons, figuratively speaking, of course, your fax cannons at Senator Frisk, and tell him to use the procedures at his disposal. And you know what? He made an about face, and it was so beautiful to see the Democrats belly aching on the floor of the Senate saying, you know, Frisk never does this. You know, he's kept us from offering this amendment. You know, this is, you know, like this was tyrannical, as if when they were in power, they never did this kind of thing. So anyway, gun owners played a huge role in really squelching that in 2004. And, of course, now it's going to be a little bit more difficult because, you know, the control of the Congress has changed. So, you know, I sure hope, you know, you were talking about how important it is to be with gun owners. And I tell you, I encourage people to go to the website at gunowners.org and at least get on our free email alerts, because we'll keep people up to date with what's going on in this battle.
Well, and I spoke about the NRA. You know, I'm getting a little sick and tired of going to gun shows and things of that nature. And they always have the people out there with their card tables or their folding tables, whatever, signing people up for their organization. And Eric, I got to tell you something. Whenever I've gone to a gun show, I never see any representatives out there for Gun Owners of America. Do you not have people within your organization out there signing people up?
You know, we used to do that, John, and we found out you have to choose how you're best going to use your time. We're not as huge an organization as the NRA. And by the way, the NRA does a lot of great things in the shooting sports, you know, teaching, you know, et cetera. It's only in the issue of lobbying that we feel that there's a huge need for Gun Owners of America. But because of that, you know, that's maybe not as sexy for a lot of people. You know, they're not just going to sign up for a lobbying organization. They want all the benefits that the NRA can give. Well, we don't offer those, so we're a lot smaller, a lot leaner. We did try doing the, you know, go to the gun shows and recruiting people, but, you know, that's not, you know, we need to be here in Washington. We need to be fighting the battle here, doing the, you know, winning the hearts and minds of people. You know, we're doing the big media this week all over the nation and all the media markets on a lot of these, you know, cable, TV news, talk shows, things like, I mean, we're doing all that. We're fighting in the Congress. You know, just, it's one of those things, we tried it, and as we look back over, we thought, okay, was that really a good use of our resources? Was it a good use of our time and money? And we decided that it wasn't. You know, we do actively recruit members, and one of the best ways is actually through our website at gunowners.org. And I tell you what, the advent of the internet and being able to communicate what's going on in Washington, D.C. has been huge, because for a long time, people couldn't get immediate access or understanding what was going on with legislation, and we like to just tell it as it is. We don't want to, you know, try to cover up what's happening up here with representatives that talk a good game, but then come to Washington and are stabbing us in the back. You know, we go in there and we turn the lights on and we just let the chips fall where they may. And sometimes that gets us, well, let's just say we aren't invited to all the cocktail parties up here.
Yeah, right. Gun owners, we've run ads on this network ever since I've opened this network up. We have run ads for Gun Owners of America, which, by the way, I know that you're real busy because of this Virginia Tech thing and appearances on radio and television. But if you would do me a favor, Eric, write yourself a note. We need a new ad. Well, I think we've been running the same one now for almost 3 years.
I am actually writing a note to myself right now. Okay.
Real good.
Very good.
Because we've always been in support of you. And as you say, you're not a big as organization as the National Rifle Association. And people, when they hear the NRA, they think, oh, you know, these are the people that fight against gun control. Well, I've watched Tanya Mataskin. I've watched the new crew up there, and not really, how should I say, doing the job with all the resource they have available. They have not been doing the job. And I suggested to people, okay, if you're an NRA life member or whatever, there's nothing wrong with being a part of more than one organization.
Right.
Nothing at all. If somebody wanted to become a member of Gun Owners of America, how much would that cost them per year?
It's $20 a year.
$20, a whole $20.
Right.
And how much is it for the NRA?
It's been 3 years since I've had to renew, so I don't know what it is, but I think it's maybe 25. I'm not positive.
Okay, so this is a cheaper deal. $5 less. And I've had your dad on my program, gosh, many times. And I've always enjoyed talking with your father, whether it's on air or in person. He's a very bright guy. But he's carried a load for a lot of years, and now you've come on board, and this is the first time I've ever talked to you prior to the program today. And when you answered the phone, you said, "Could you hold a minute?" And I thought, "Oh, well, that's Larry." Well, no, it was you, and I made mention to you. You even laughed like him.
That's
you,
right.
You sound a lot like him, and I'm glad you're in the fight with your father.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, for the anti-gunners out there, it gets even worse because I've got 9 kids, and already the older ones, they're saying sound like me, which of course means they sound like Larry, which of course means we're the Sarah Brady's worst nightmare.
Well, I saw a clip, and because of this Virginia Tech shooting, I saw Bill Clinton signing the assault weapon ban, and I saw the critters that were standing behind him in the ceremonial signing of that bill, and it just brought back bad memories. And they're not going to quit on this deal. And people have to understand, Eric, in the countries that passed bans, like Australia, and of course it was for the children, some children got killed. In England, they did the same thing. And crime rates have gone through the roof.
Absolutely.
Do you have any statistics on that?
Yes. In fact, they passed their very draconian gun ban in 1997 in response to the Dublin school shooting, a very tragic shooting just like what we had. Their response was to go with a virtual total gun ban, all handguns banned. It's almost impossible to own long guns. Well, their murder rate, their crime rates have spiked so high now. The United Nations did a study and said that England has the highest of all the crime rates in the Western world. So, you know, imagine this. This is the country that it used to be that, you know, the police, the bobbies just wore the nightsticks, didn't need guns. Well, that's all changing now. The mayor of London, Ken Livingston, said he feels safer in New York City than he does in his home city of London. Now, what does that tell you? Crime has gotten that bad. They have an illegal gun problem worse than they've ever had. Handgun crimes and murders are shooting through the roof. And the other thing now, if people have been watching cable news today, they've been throwing up these statistics, you know, like only 50-some murders in the U.K. Well, you know what? You cannot compare our murder statistics to that in England. There are certain police that have come out and said, you know, you can't compare the two countries because we suppress our murder statistics to lie to the people. They would look at a shooting like this at Virginia Tech, they would count that as one murder. Can you believe that? I mean, they compress their statistics. So if a guy goes on a killing spree, they count that as one murder rather than 3 or 6 or 10 or however many people they actually killed.
Well, and of course, you take away the individual's right to protect himself or his property, then that leads credence to, well, we need more cameras and more surveillance. We need more intrusive police state measures into the private lives to protect you.
And isn't that the tragedy, that those people that have this nanny state worldview, that government is God, it must, you know, control things, you know, take care of people from cradle to grave, including their self-defense needs, that when problems arise, they never look at themselves and say, well, maybe it's our own policies that are giving rise to these problems. Maybe it's the, you know, the gun control laws that are preventing people from defending themselves, and that's why the killers are seeking out gun-free zones, because they know they're going to be the only one with a gun. You know, they don't go shoot up police stations,
right,
you know, where bullets are going to be flying back at them. No.
That's right.
They go where they're the only one with a gun.
Well, when we get back, I want to give people an example of what happened. And the FBI crime statistics on violent crimes, it has been dropping year after year after year. You know, this Virginia Tech thing, yes, folks, it's a tragedy. 32 kids are not going to live out their lives. But if you take a look at how many crimes gun owners, private citizens in this country, have prevented, it smacks in the face of their rhetoric and their psychological conditioning for the public. We'll be right back.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you remember, roughly, I think it was about a decade ago, there was a phenomenon in the states for a push for concealed weapon carry permits. Once the states allowed this, and I was no big fan of this because we do have a Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. It didn't say with permission of the state. I would much rather see Vermont-style laws in all 50 states. There in Vermont, you can carry what you want, when you want to carry it, except where prohibited by law or statute. But the crime rate in Vermont is very, very low. Violent crime rate is very low. And as I've said before, if you commit a crime with a gun in Vermont, expect the heavy weight of the state to come crashing down on your shoulders, as it should. But something happened here. Violent crimes, you can chart the FBI statistics for yourself. Go take a look at them. There was something that disappeared almost overnight on the radar scope, and that was carjackings. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You have some young crackhead or thug that wants to take your car. He doesn't even want to refine his theft skills by using a jimmy stick when you're not in your car or getting a little bit more sophisticated, hauling your car off to a chop shop. No, they just come up to your car, point a gun in your face, tell you get out of the car, and by the way, leave your wallet or your purse. Well, what happened with carjackings, how many times you see the carjacking stories in the news? It's almost a rare occurrence to see that. You don't want to know why? because the criminals that were wielding these guns, robbing you of your possession and your property, they didn't know who was armed out there. And those carjackings almost dropped off the radar. Now, folks, I said this about Virginia Tech. There should have been people on that campus allowed to carry concealed weapons. As a matter of fact, on gunowners.org, if you take a look, there's a story up there that Virginia Tech last year, and if I'm not mistaken here, Eric, it was last year, the pro-gun forces tried to get the Virginia legislature to address the problems, and the bill allowed permit holders to carry on state-supported college campuses, but that died due to no small part to rabid opposition from Virginia Tech itself.
That's right, and the spokesperson for Virginia Tech said something to the effect of, now parents, students, and teachers will feel safer since there won't be guns on campus. And, of course, there's a huge difference between feeling safe and being safe, isn't there? You know, feeling safe didn't stop this wacko from bringing a gun onto a campus where they were illegal. But see, then again, we've known this forever, that bad guys don't obey the laws. And even though he didn't have a criminal record, I mean, clearly he had murder on his brain. He was criminally minded, and you know, so he's not going to stop at the campus border and say, "Oh rats, I can't walk onto the school grounds with these guns." I mean, it's so ludicrous what the other side thinks they're going to wave a magic wand, pass all these restrictions, and that somehow the bad guys are going to obey them. I mean, the only people that end up obeying them are good folks, and that's the exact thing that leads to this problem on the Virginia Tech campus. What we saw on Monday was gun control working perfectly. Gun control worked perfectly. All the victims were disarmed, and the bad guy was the only one with a gun.
And it was rather fascinating, and there's been a lot of comparisons. I've heard a lot of people talking about this, that, you know, if somebody's got a gun and I don't have a gun, you know, I'm going to do my best to disarm that guy because, you know, seeing what these guys do, I'm sure if this guy had a little bit more than a couple hours to do his dirty deeds down there at Virginia Tech, the body count would have been higher. But if there would have been teachers on that campus or students are allowed to carry guns for self-protection. And here's the thing, Eric, that I never understood. We have the right in this country to protect our property. I can think of no greater asset as far as property goes than your own self. So wherever I go, I should have the right to defend myself if it is absolutely necessary.
Well, absolutely. And isn't it interesting that, say, the state of Utah, which does allow its teachers and its principals to, if they have a concealed carry permit, to take their guns into the classrooms, into the schools, that we haven't heard about any shootings like this coming out of the state of Utah. There's been no school shooting stories from the state of Utah. And it's exactly what you're saying, that this serves as a deterrent, because then it changes the odds. It makes the bad guy wonder, okay, which one of these guys may be armed. On the other hand, there's a sure bet in most of these criminals' minds. There are certain places you can go, you know, you're going to be the only one with a gun. Washington, D.C., Chicago are, you know, top the list. And, of course, they're some of the most violent cities in our nation. But also, most of the schools in this country fall into that same gun-free category, gun-free, quote-unquote.
You know, I, Eric, I watch the conditioning, and especially Madison Avenue. I watch these security companies, and I just love these commercials where the woman is at home. Well, one of my favorites is the guy's jogging down the street. He sees the husband leave. The wife's on the porch waving goodbye. He waits to see the husband goes down the street in his car. He busts in the front door, and all of a sudden the alarm goes off.
And he goes running out.
Yeah, it panics him, and then she's on the phone calling the security company, or they're calling her, whatever the case may be. Is there a problem? Now that's if to say that you can get, and the criminal wasn't smart enough to clip your phone line, so you couldn't make a call, okay, because it's connected right through your phone line. Okay, say this guy gets in your house, and you're calling the security company, or they're calling you going, what's the problem? And then they turn around to call the police. Well, sometime between death and rigor mortis, these people may show up. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, no, what you should see is the woman going to the closet, pulling out the shotgun, racking around in it, turning and saying to this guy, get out of my house. And if he approaches her, well, the guy's basically flesh confetti on the walls. Tell you what, if you could, just hang on just a few more minutes. I know you've got to run, but hang on just a few more minutes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
As tragic as losing 32 college students, and it is a tragedy, ladies and gentlemen, but I saw the hypocrisy of dear George Bush talking about these children and being snuffed out in the prime of their lives, and I'm thinking, what thought kept ringing through my head was hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. What about all the dead children in Iraq and Afghanistan and soon to spread to Iran or Syria if he has his way? Yeah, what hypocrisy? Eric, I wanted to ask you, I know you only have a couple minutes here, but I wanted to ask you, what are the current statistics that GOA has on gun owners and the possession of firearms and how many crimes they've actually stopped being committed in this country?
Yeah, great question. In fact, people can go to our website at gunowners.org and get a lot of these statistics, especially look in the Just for Skeptics section, and we deal with a lot of this stuff. But, you know, there's been many different studies. One of the favorite ones I love to quote, even though it came from the Clinton Justice Department, and they lowballed the figure in terms of the number of self-defense cases because they put it at about 1.5 million, when really I think others, more reputable studies, have shown that it's a lot higher. But basically, if you take the Clinton figures, that comes out to 4,000 cases every day of self-defense. I mean, so even though those 30, you know, as tragic as those 32 deaths are, you know, you do the math, 32 times 50, there's, you know, 50 times more, what's that, 1,500 or so? I'm doing that rapidly in my head. But, you know, cases of self-defense going on across the country, which are not being reported. You know, we're focusing on these very tragic 32, but all the, you know, the many more times where self-defense is occurring, we're just simply not reporting it. And, you know, the sad thing is in many of the cases that we were talking about earlier, like the Mississippi principal who used a gun to stop a shooter at his school in 1997, or the two law school students actually at another Virginia campus at the Appalachian School of Law in 2002. They ran to their cars, grabbed their guns, ran back and stopped the shooter. Well, in both of those cases I just mentioned, the media didn't talk about it. I mean, out of all the coast-to-coast news covering the Mississippi story, only there was less than 10 papers that mentioned that assistant principal used a gun to stop the crime, to stop the shooter. Many more did mention that he stopped the bad guy, but they left you to wonder, well, was it his incredible powers of persuasion, or, you know, how did he do it? It was only about 4 in the whole country that mentioned that he had a gun. See, yeah. You know, it's almost diabolical. How the media twists the gun news.
Those are facts by omission. In my book, Eric, that's the same as a lie. When you slant or misreport a story like that, that's the same thing as lying.
Absolutely. And Dr. John Lott, who actually did this number crunching of the articles, when he called some of these reporters and said, well, you know, did you realize that the guy you talked about, the assistant principal, Joel Myrick, used a gun to stop it? How come you didn't report that? The answer was typically, well, we didn't think that was important.
yeah, sure it isn't important.
Right.
Yeah, well, and as you look at this situation, I mean, this guy, the shooter down at Virginia Tech, you know, the news media, they wanted to know where he got the guns, and he had a Glock 9mm and a Walther 22.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, he even purchased, I think, that 9mm last month, and he just happened to have the receipt in his backpack.
Mm-hmm.
But they did an interview with the gun store owner, and he said, look, there were no flags with this guy. You know, he did the waiting period thing. We did the background check. There was nothing to indicate that this guy was some kind of loony. But if you listen to the reports from the police now and the university itself, there was some indication that this guy was a little bit askew. But here again, it demonstrates with them coming in and demanding waiting periods and background checks and this, that, and the other, it didn't work, did it?
Exactly. It really doesn't matter how he got his gun, because guys who have murder in their hearts are going to manage to get them anyway. Where do the people in D.C. get them, even though they're completely illegal in D.C.? Where did the killer up in Canada? I mean, Canada has strict gun control laws, and yet they had their own school shooting not too long ago. Where did he get the gun? What about Germany with their strict gun control laws? They had a very tragic school shooting. So, you know, in all these cases, even with the strictest of gun control laws, people still get guns.
Well, and let's not forget our vice president, Mr. Cheney, with putting buckshot in somebody's face last year. I mean, here's the guy, the second in command of the highest office in this country, and, well, they just had a little bit too much to drink, and this guy kind of got in the way, and he didn't kill him, but he pockmarked his face up a little bit.
Yes.
But, you know, if you think about all these shootings, what was it last week, a shooting in a workplace, if people... And folks, if your supervisors or your shift managers or even people that are allowed to carry weapons, and even if it's the concealed weapon carry permit, people are allowed to have access to firearms. Criminals don't keep killing if there's opposition. So the key to this thing is not more gun control. And I'm not suggesting anything, but we have the right of self-defense. And you said the term earlier, the nanny state. Mm-hmm. We're being conditioned to believe that if we have enough police and we're proactive enough and we're getting in everybody's business, that we can prevent these gun crimes. So therefore, only law enforcement and designated people should have guns, and the rest of us are gunless. Is absolutely 100% insane. And I'm happy, Eric, in a kind of a demented sort of way, that what happened to Australia and England, because there is proof positive that gun bans do not work.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are a shining example, if you will, exactly, of the failure of gun control. And it just, you know, it rips you apart to see, well, you know, a tragedy like this, and then rather than asking, well, maybe it's the restrictions that we've been enacting that's the problem, instead they want to redouble their efforts and add even, I mean, isn't that the definition of fanaticism, you know, redoubling your efforts even though you continue to fail?
That's right. And one other thing, I mean, that needs mentioning here, and there are people out there that don't want to have guns in their house. And you know what? That's fine. If you want to have a gun-free zone on your property in your house, that's fine.
I wouldn't post a note in the front yard to that effect.
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to say. If you are so anti-gun that, okay, put on your house a big sign that says this is a gun-free house and invite the criminals to your house.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to know you're defenseless. You know,
and yet, you know, that's exactly what happens in Washington, D.C., because every home essentially has that sign on their home because that's what the city has done to them. That's what the school board has done to Virginia Tech. They've essentially said there are no guns on this campus. Nobody, not even the permit holders, are going to be able to oppose you if you sneak a gun on campus and want to kill people.
Well, the only thing that this Virginia Tech thing, and this is kind of tongue-in-cheek humor here, but I said this the other day, the only thing that this thing has done is knocked Anna Nicole Smith stories off of the TV.
Yeah.
And I've been watching more probably than I should have, Eric, and I've been watching this droning rhetoric and carefully couched gun control message out there. And it's building once again. These gun grabbers were just ecstatic. Believe it or not, folks, and I'm not lying about this, they were ecstatic that this tragedy happened down there because they can use it for political purposes.
Well, Carolyn McCarthy, the queen of gun control in the House of Representatives, the day it happened, already had a message up on her website plugging the need for more gun control.
Yeah.
You know, they were quick on the trigger, let me tell you.
Well, and if anybody knows the Sarah Brady story and tracked, and a lot of people tracked very carefully what she was doing, and she made statements that, well, in a socialistic society, we can't have people running around with guns. When she would come out on television and say that, oh, no, we're just for tighter gun controls. We want to keep the guns out of criminals' hands.
Yeah, you know, when they would say that, we would always ask them, then you will work with us then to repeal the D.C. gun ban? Because obviously it takes guns out of more than just the wrong hands. It takes them out of everybody's hands. You think they ever took us up on that offer?
I doubt it.
Yeah, we're still waiting.
Hey, Eric, I know you're a very busy man, and especially this week, and I appreciate you coming on the program in short notice.
Thank you, John.
And I'll tell you what, when your dad decides to retire, I'm glad to see that this organization is going to be in capable hands.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Eric. All right. And, yeah, by the way, I'm going to have to call Larry and have to hit him up here for advertising rates, because we've been running GOA ads, and I'm sure you listeners out there were sick of hearing them, and Eric promised that he was going to redo the ad for us. But, folks, there are immutables in this country. One of them is freedom of speech, and the other is protection of yourself and property. And if you're one of these people out there that is starting to buy into this rhetoric that, yeah, you know, gosh, this is just getting too serious. You know, there's violence worldwide. You know, we got to do something about this. And let's not be hypocritical. You know, if we're going to talk about violence worldwide, we need to clean this up in our own country. What has to happen in this country, ladies and gentlemen, is the population itself to say, you know what, I've had enough of this crap. I've had enough. You know, I was arrested a couple of years ago, and you remember this story, that I was going from my apartment to my storefront in South Austin. And I got stopped for speeding, and I was carrying a .45 with me. that wasn't exactly in full view. I was carrying a stack of papers on the floorboard in the passenger seat. It was a little S10 truck, and the 45 was sitting right on top. Well, by the time I got halfway to the office, I didn't even notice the gun had slipped off, and it was partially obscured by the front seat. I was in no way trying to hide the gun. So when I was pulled over and I was asked, do you have any weapons on you? I said, yeah. You know, well, we need to inventory your vehicle. Next thing I know, I'm in the back of a police car. I'm in the Hooskow, and these guys are just jumping up and down. Oh, they caught somebody speeding and had an illegal weapon on them. Well, there was nothing illegal about the weapon. What they got me on was, I was trying to conceal it. No. And even down here in Texas, you have the right to carry a firearm within a 3-county area, okay? Well, that wasn't good enough for the judge. And I flat out told these people, I said, you know what? I want a jury trial on this. And I made the correction. No, not a jury trial. I want a trial by jury. Let's put this hideous law and the twisted logic in front of a jury of supposedly people of my peers of me. Let's put this, well, the lawyer, I said, well, how much is this all going to cost me? Well, you know, gosh, we might lose it. This is a great Second Amendment case here, and, you know, we think we can win it. I said, but what happens if we don't win it on the first round and I got to appeal? Well, that'll be an additional $20,000-$25,000. And I went, what? Wait a minute here. I've got the state saying I've done something wrong. I've done nothing wrong, but I've got to spend all this money to defend myself against the state? No. Well, this prosecutor wanted a large chunk of my derriere, and I said, look, we're going to take this to trial. And we were sitting in the courtroom, and, of course, the prosecutor and the defense attorney is in front of the judge's bench, and they're talking. And I see this judge. She was a black woman. She kept poking her head up, and she kept looking at me. Now, what the defense attorney didn't know and what the prosecution didn't know was I had actually met the judge about 15 minutes before I went into court. By accident, I walked into her chambers to sit down in a chair to go over some information. I was sitting there talking to this woman, very nice lady. Turns out I was talking to the judge. So she was kind of interested in who I was. I get into court. There she's doing the old popinjay, looking up over the prosecution and defense attorney, looking at me. And, you know, as the defense attorneys always do, their due diligence on pleading stuff down. You know, he's coming back to me. Okay, they're going to offer you this deal. I said, no deal. And I said loud enough for the judge to hear it. I said, you know what? I want a fully informed jury. I want a jury to decide whether I should be prosecuted on this gun crime. Well, that's about all that it took. The defense attorney didn't do anything. I was the one that did it in court because I wasn't somebody who was going to be bent over the proverbial rain barrel, okay? And after this is all said and done, the thing was adjudicated. It was eventually dismissed. Unfortunately, when you have deferred adjudications, you're not found guilty of it, but it's still on your record, your police record. So then you got to go pay an attorney to go get the thing expunged and all this other happy horse stuff. But I stood my ground. I'm not a criminal. I've never been charged with any gun crime or violent crime in my entire life. So if I've got a 45, which I kept in the office at my storefront, because that's in South Austin, and that's pretty close to the east side over there, and I don't have to tell you people in Austin, there's a lot of problems that come out of there. And I always had a sign in my office down there that says, right by the front door, we don't call 911. I can deal with any situation that would walk into that office that would be injurious to my health. You know, and thank God I've never had to use a weapon on anybody or anything. And I hope I go to my grave never having to use a weapon and have to take a life to protect my own. But you know what? It sure is comforting to know that I have the ability to take out what is threatening my life or my family or my property. And these people are after that right. They want you to be so dependent on the state, and they want you to believe that we can be proactive. Yes, the nanny government and all the police out there are going to protect you. Horse pucky. Horse manure. This is important, ladies and gentlemen. This H.R. 1022, do whatever you can. Call your representatives. Call your senators. While you're making the calls there on the hate crime legislation, talk to him about this H.R. 1022, the assault weapons ban and law enforcement. How in the hell does this protect law enforcement? How does this protect law enforcement? Exactly how does that work? We got the cops now, if you look the wrong way, you're tasered, and they've been killing more people with tasers than I think they have with guns. Oh, but, you know, it wasn't the pepper spray that was good enough. No, they've got to half electrocute you now and watch you flop on the ground like a half-dead fish. You know, I mean, come on, folks. Enough is enough. Enough of these nanny state politicians that want to keep all of us safe, when in actuality the damage is being done to the American people is coming right out of the District of Criminals, that somehow in their infinite wisdom they have all the answers for everything. Well, let us remind you that these creatures have run this country right into the ground. You know, I was thinking about something the other day. Why don't we have term limits on senators? Why do we have the people like Kennedy year after year, the fat, bloated alcoholic up there? Why do we have people still in there like Conyers and the like? Why are these people perennial, entrenched in Senate, no goodnik, anti-American people? Why don't we have term limits at least? That at least we get fresh new do-gooders in there or non-do-gooders. We're not given any options anymore. It's being fixed. And the majority of these people are lawyers. You want to read an interesting piece of legislation? Go read H.R. 1022. It's a lawyer's dream, man. They have tried repeatedly to get the guns out of the hands of the American people. And I'll tell you what. With the police state that I see, my suggestion is buy more guns and more ammo. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt, I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SolayWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Boy, time flies. You know, I wanted to get into this HR 808, and I'm flat out of time. Sometimes I get off the track here because there are things that I'm passionate about, and especially when I see idiots and sages and fools, and the program that they're trying to promote here, that somehow you know, they're going to make us all safe. You know, it's all for the safety of the children. It's all for the safety of everybody out there. Safety, safety, safety. And things are getting worse and worse and worse. And their solutions are not solutions to the problem. People are the problem, but there again, people are also the solutions. I mean, you heard, Eric. How many gun crimes are prevented, or how many violent crimes are prevented every year? And I would like to see in all 50 states the Vermont-style gun laws. And you know what that is, folks? Basically no law at all. You don't have to register your firearms. You can carry what you want to carry, where you want to carry it. But everybody in the state of Vermont knows one thing. If you commit a crime against your spouse or another individual, commit a robbery or murder, whatever, you know what? You're going to be grilled, and you're going to be griddled, and you're going to be popped inside out, because the full weight of the state is going to come down on your little shoulders like the proverbial sword of Damocles. You ain't going to have no head left, because they're going to headhunt. They're going to chop your head off. And that's the way it should be. That somehow that crimes are going to be permitted, or prevented, I should say, by taking firearms out of responsible people's hands. Well, then the argument is, well, how do we know who's responsible and who's not? You folks, unless we have the ability to park one of these bureaucrats in everybody's house, in every school, in every college campus, in every workplace, on every street corner in America, that is not the solution. Responsible people standing up and saying, you know what, I've had enough of this crap. You druggies out there, you crackheads, you scurrilous people that you want to keep committing crimes, you're not going to do it through me and not over my dead body, committing one of your scurrilous little crimes, because you're either too lazy or too inept, or you just want to cut a few corners. You want to do a life of crime. Okay, fine. It's going to be over your dead body. If you approach me with any weapons, and I don't care if it's a Louisville slugger, a knife, a gun, whatever, buddy, you're going down. Once the criminals in this country realize that the citizenry has had enough, forget some pop and jay politician, but when the citizenry in this country has had enough, that's when the crimes will start to decline, and I'm talking rapidly. Let's go to the phones here. Sam in West Virginia. Hello, Sam.
Hey, John. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Good deal. Hey, I wanted to give your listeners also an update since we're talking about firearms. I don't know if you've noticed on the market, they've put out a lot of 8 Mausers and stuff like that, surplus rifles on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was trying to buy some 8 Mauser ammo. There's a lot of surplus that was going around. It's pretty much dried up. And I called the guy that basically imports the stuff into the country, and he has said that the United Nations has gone to those foreign countries, Yugoslavia and Bulgaria and different places, that are selling the surplus, and have convinced them that they will pay them to destroy the ammo instead of selling it to us.
Well, yeah, I can believe that.
So there's not going to be any more 8 Mauser surplus brought into this country, or 7.62 by 54 Russian, as far as I can tell.
Really?
But yeah, that's what's being said right now.
And is there anything that he's doing with the 7.62 by 3.9?
No, but that stuff's going through the roof. It's about $200 a thousand now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, again, buy yourself some rifles, buy yourself some ammunition, because we got a government that's dead set on taking your right of self-protection away. And the thing that I'm worried about is not the rogue common criminal out there doing damage. It's my own government.
Oh, yeah. And John, 308 brass, once fired brass, is $135 a thousand.
All right. Hey, Sam, we're out of time. Thanks for your call, folks. Join me tomorrow. We're going to be talking about this truck out rally tomorrow. Stay tuned.